your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad.
Well, welcome home, family.
It's your mom and dad. And oh my God, family, we have officially an announcement for our first Golden Bachelorette ever. Can you believe? First
Finally,
Golden.
It's here. Doesn't it feel like Jerry Gary was like 2.5 years ago?
Maybe more like 3.5.
Yeah, it feels like a lifetime like ago.
Well, you know, we did experience all the love, the wedding, and then the loss in a very short time. So maybe that's part of what it is. Okay, speaking of, we gotta talk about our first official Golden Bachelorette. Yeah. And then also, of course, we have the Traitors finale and reunion.
Yeah.
But at the top here, do you mind if I talk about Jerry Gary for a moment?
Of course. I'm always down to talk to you.
I'm having to pause. I always have to pause and think, is it Jerry Gary? It's Gary.
I never know his name anymore.
Because it's Gare Bear.
It's GGT to
us. You gotta go GGT, but you gotta go Gare Bear.
Oh, so Gary.
Because I heard someone call him at one point Gare Bear. So I was like, it's
Gare
Gary.
Okay.
It's
to be
Gary,
honest with you, Gary. Just for that moment, I thought his name was Jerry again. I forgot.
So sorry. Gary. Okay. But I had to bring this up because I saw that, I believe yesterday or 2 days ago, that Gary posted that he officially is in the running for, he's nominated for Critics' Choice Awards Male Star of the Year. Male Star of the Year, okay? And now, first and foremost, sorry, no shade, Gary, but...
Kind of sounds like an adult performer. Does it? Like, male performer.
This is going to be absolutely darling.
In the 65 and up category, the male performer of the year. And you're like, wait a second. That kind of sounds...
No, this is the Critics' Choice for television.
Just like best overall dude of the year.
I guess so. And again, no shade to Gary, but considering everything that went down, it seems like most of America, and now again diving into Golden Bachelorette and listening to the interviews and everything, people are not happy with Gary.
I was going to say, it's not like, they're definitely not going for the popular vote.
So I'm just saying, they're not happy with Gary right now. But this isn't even why I bring this up. So I look at the nominees.
Yeah, because I'm kind of like, I need to have a little bit of like...
Context.
Because I'm going like, wait, is he up against like actors? Is it just like reality TV people? Like, what's the deal?
So here we go. Critics' Choice Male Star of the Year. We have Gerard Carmichael for the Gerard Carmichael reality show on HBO, which is huge. We have Alan Cumming for The Traitors.
Okay.
We have Eugene Levy for a show called The Reluctant Traveler with Eugene Levy.
I've seen preview for that.
Which I have not seen, but I'm sure it's
amazing.
Bertie Gregory, who I don't know for Animals Up Close with Bertie Gregory. And then we have RuPaul from RuPaul's Drag Race. First and foremost, you know who I'm voting for. Love you, Alan, but, you know, gotta vote Ru. And then we have Gary Turner.
Well, here's my biggest problem.
From The Golden Bachelor.
My biggest problem is that, like, we're dealing, like, RuPaul, creator,
and host. Eugene host. Gerard, like, it's his reality
TV
show.
His own reality TV show.
Alan Cumming is the host. Okay.
This
is my point.
Like,
this
maybe best point. Male contestant.
No. This is my point. We have hosts here.
Yeah.
How bad do you feel?
Oh, I didn't even think about the fact that Jesse Palmer's. But now I will say this.
You can't if ands or buts this. That is a devastator. And I, you know, I don't want to pour any drinks on my carpet, but maybe I can do the sparkling water.
Pour
not
one
the
out
tea.
For. Yeah.
I want to pour something out for JP.
Yeah.
Because that's a devastator.
Yeah.
Number one, Gary is not loved right now. And then number two, clearly most of the other nominees are hosts of their own show.
Yeah, like their name is on the show.
Or they're the host, like Alan
right,
Cumming.
Right.
The host, right? That's true, Yeah.
But I'm having a hard time understanding, because like as much as I love, you know, as much as I love.
I'm just telling you right now, I will not stand for any JP slander in
this
house.
No, this is not JP slander. But what I'm going to say is like there are levels to the game. And I feel like it's like he's not even set up to host to the level of these other people who are like carrying the show.
Sure. I'm not going to compare RuPaul.
Yeah, you can't. Alan Cummings' performance.
I'm not going to compare Alan Cummings.
Alan Cummings' performance in Traitors versus the occasional dip in, where he just goes, "It's going to be once in a lifetime," and then he walks away. Like, you can't even compare those. What I don't understand.
I'm just saying it has to be painful.
But I'm also kind of like, it's not like Jerry Gary like did anything groundbreaking other than be old.
Well, he was the first Golden Bachelor,
but just because you're old, so then you're like, you're amazing just because you're old. I don't know. I'm getting like,
well,
where's the performance?
Okay.
Well, Alan Cumming is probably similar age, maybe 10 years younger.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm going like, yeah, that is a little crazy. And it's also, so it's Critics' Choice, which is interesting.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly where this lands. I don't know if this is like what, if it's the Critics' Choice Awards. I don't know what level this is at. I'm not 100% sure. I need to dive more in. I just saw that he posted this on as a hard post on his Instagram.
Hard post. Aggressive.
And so I scanned through.
Was it like a call to vote? Like, vote for me? Or was it just honored? Honored to be here kind of vibe.
I think it just was honored to be here.
Wow. Okay.
I think he probably knows that the votes
He's
are
like, not
going to be
push
piling
this too
in.
Hard. Yeah.
I'm assuming, considering how America feels about him. I just had to bring it up because I just had to shout out our King JP because it feels painful.
Yeah, that is
it
tough.
It feels painful. And I just wanted to let you know, JP, that we recognize you. And I've really been enjoying you over the past few years and more on this franchise because not only did you do that, you also now did Bachelor in Paradise. Who knows if that will come back?
Yeah.
But you know, he's been hustling. He's got a million other things he's doing.
Yes.
Just a thought, JP. Maybe if you do dive into a Jesse Palmer Hunts Bigfoot
right
on HBO
that
franchise,
might get nominated.
That might be kind of the niche that could get you nominated.
Right.
That's just
a great idea.
Yeah.
Jesse Palmer works more than 5 hours. You know, like stuff like that.
Evan,
where
he does so many.
I'm just kidding. It's a jealousy thing. It's a jealousy thing.
You've seen his avocado posters in the grocery store. Don't come for him like that.
True.
Yeah, don't.
He's out there. He's pushing it. He's really trying to build a brand, and I appreciate that.
So.
Wow. Well, yeah, that is a snub. I'm gonna be honest with you. It's a snub. Well, and it's also even more brutal. It's not like The Bachelor didn't get included. It's like the only non-host got included. It's tough.
So it's tough.
Sorry, dude.
I just wanted to send our love to
send
Jesse
our
Palmer.
Love. Tough.
But we got to talk Golden Bachelorette.
I know.
We got to talk Golden Bachelorette. But first, family, we got to take a quick pause. Listen, for most of my life, I didn't know the importance of skincare. Speaking
Same.
About getting older, okay? So now in recent years, I'm catching up. And since I've tried a lot of products, but about a year and a half ago, I started using today's sponsor, OneSkin. And it is a forever thing for me now. They offer simple skincare routines that tackle skin issues at a cellular level. And the results that we've both had since we started using it have been great. And for a limited time, you can try OneSkin for 15% off using the code MOMDAD. When you check out at oneskin.co, I'm telling you all, I'm never using, this is the skincare brand
so,
I use now. Like, it's amazing.
So good.
It's amazing.
Founded by an all-women team of scientists, OneSkin has developed a proprietary peptide called OS01 that's scientifically validated to improve the health of your skin beneath the surface without irritation or a complicated multi-step routine. Not only that, their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety for use at any stage of life.
Like I said, I love the results from OneSkin, and let me tell you, I love the ease. I love the ease so much. In the past, with other skincare, it's like a 15-step process, but with OneSkin, I just cleanse, I pat my skin dry, and I apply twice daily. Boom. I use their face, eye, body, and shield, so all over. And by the way, have a product that you can't live without? OneSkin Topical can all be used with other products and easily fit into your current skincare routine. Listen, OneSkin combines tissue engineering, data analysis, and cutting-edge longevity science to create the world's most effective product to target skin aging. They believe the purpose of skincare is not just to improve how we look, but to optimize our skin biology so that it's more resilient to the aging process. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company, okay? By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code MOMDAD at OneSkin.co. That's 15% off OneSkin.co with code MOMDAD. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. All right, family. It is the first official Golden Bachelorette, and we have been gifted Joan Vossos, I believe. Joan. So all of you remember Joan, right? She was on the Golden Bachelor, and she ended up leaving, I would say, maybe halfway through, almost exactly.
Yeah.
Her and Gary really had a connection. It seemed like he was definitely vibing on her, but then she ended up getting a call from her daughter who was struggling postpartum, and she was just heroic and was like, I'm out.
Mom first.
And she went to take care of her daughter. Yeah. And she seems, from everything we know of her, she seems like a very lovely, kind woman.
Yeah. So I thought about this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Toiled over this for hours. I think she's a very good choice. And here's why.
Mm-hmm.
Should I present my kind of
case? Present your case, because I have thoughts as well.
My thoughts, I thought about everybody else. Not everybody, but I thought about like a chunk of people. And I thought, okay, well, you know, maybe they were the obvious choice. Joan's kind of random, blah, blah, blah. I was thinking about all this. Mm-hmm. So number one, she's mysterious.
You know what?
So gorgeous and mysterious. And all you know about her, amazing mom, kind, sweet, elegant, and like very like a good character. Like, she treated the process very well. She left in a nice way. You kind of get a sense of what he was like around. Like, he was devastated when she left, even though it was that early on. So you saw how much he liked her and had a thing for her. So it built a little suspense there.
I was just saying that's very interesting that you say mysterious, because I was actually chit-chatting with Katie Thurston about it, and she was like, I don't think she watched all of The Golden Bachelor, but she asked me, she's like, what are your thoughts on Golden Bachelorette? And I'm like, you know, I really like Joan. I was thinking maybe we'd have, though, like a Leslie or Susan, who we've seen more of. And Katie Thurston said, she was, I think it's really exciting to have someone who's a little mysterious, who the audience doesn't know quite as well, so we can get to know her along. And so to your point, I do. When I was thinking about that, I was like, that's true. We can actually like really kind of get to know her along this journey.
Yes. So to continue on.
Yeah.
So mysterious, beautiful, good character, good mom, kind of total package energy, but without knowing too much about her. So there's still like stuff to be uncovered. There's still like, for the producers in the show, they can kind of like create now a thing, and we can discover all together and there's things. Which kind of then leads me to, like, let's say, I'm going to put Kathy and Susan in the same category.
Okay.
Because they've kind of worked on a career after the show. They've done hosting gigs. Very connected. They've kind of come back into the show multiple times to, you know, do the Leslie, whatever. I'm just kind of feeling like at this point, they kind of have a career almost. They have, like, we know them so well that to kind of dip them back in, it feels a little bit like they're too trained. Like, it'll take away kind of the like, we're all in this together energy versus, like, they're like media trained, been through the process. I feel like it'll feel too performative if they were to do it.
I understand.
I could see them like looking at the camera and being like, and that's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I feel like that it's too late for them to do this specific show because they're too
media trained.
They've seen behind the curtain too long. So then there's Leslie.
Yeah.
And with Leslie, I kind of look at it and go, maybe too jaded from the process. Like, she got her heart broken. He led her on. She then had to like attend the wedding, which kind of was like even more brutal.
I was thinking even now too, because of now America, there's so many people who are going, I don't even want to watch The Golden Bachelorette because look what happened with The Golden Bachelor.
Right.
So I'm wondering if producers are like, Leslie's too close to 100%. Reminding everyone of Gary that I feel
like her whole arc could be like, I'm trying to make my way back after heartbreak. And I'm just kind of going, that's tied too much to Gary.
Yeah.
And she would say, I'm still totally in love with him after the show, like all that stuff. And I just felt like what Joan provides is like, we didn't even need to have The Golden Bachelor. This could have been the first one.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
She's not jaded. She was too early on in the process to go through this. We don't know much about her. She kind of fits every perfect category of what you need for a great golden, you know, bachelorette. Her hair's golden. There's a nice little tie-in. There's gold hair, so when they have it, they could have like the sun and then her hair. You know, so I don't know. I'm just saying, like, I do feel like at first there was a little bit of like, oh, I was hoping for who was Joan again? Oh yeah. But then you kind of realize like, no, this is kind of what you want. You want a fresh start.
Yeah.
You want all the guys to come in and not know anything and not be like, I've been watching you every time and I think you got, it's like, no, you want like, I kind of know you, but yeah. I don't. I got a crush on you. We'll see what happens.
No, you know, I agree with you because at first I really like Joan. Don't get me wrong. But at first I was a little bit like, oh, our girl Susan, our girl Leslie, Faith, Ellen. Like there were a few that I was like, oh, but.
Could have been Faith. That's probably one I could have been okay with. Less, a little less, you know, again. But still,
very deep in the process. We know too much. I'm just saying, I don't even think it's a we know too much, personally. Okay. I think it's too connected with Gary. Because of how America's feeling about Gary, I think it just needs to feel like a fresh start. Now, I was surprised because I remember hearing Joan getting thrown around a while ago, and I think we even mentioned it on this podcast. And I was like, okay, interesting, but like makes sense because she seems absolutely lovely. Like you said, she's absolutely beautiful. She's crushing it on TikTok. Mm-hmm. She's getting these millions of views with her like recipe TikToks that are very, so you're like, okay, she's connected to the youth too. Uh-huh. They're seeing her on TikTok. But then a big rumor that was going around is that ABC was looking, and I don't know if this is true or not, but the rumor was that ABC was looking at Susan Lucci, who is a massive soap opera star.
Susan Lucci. Do we have a picture of Susan Lucci?
Look up Susan Lucci. You'll know Susan Lucci. Massive soap opera star from All My Children. And so I was like, oh, they're going to go completely fresh. Mm. Which, by the way, was very old school The Bachelor. Because back in the day, the guys that they chose as The Bachelor were like the Andrew Firestones, where it's like, oh, they have this massive company. And so people are wanting to. So at first, I thought we were maybe going to get a massive soap opera star, which I'm very excited for Joan. But I'm not going to lie to you. There was a part of me that was really looking forward to Susan Lucci being it because I thought. Because we're talking soap. I imagine, first of all, she'd probably give us the drama.
Yeah.
Number two, I could see all of a sudden guys applying for the show who are like massive Susan Lucci fans who have been fans of hers for forever showing up in a parasocial way thinking that they're part of All My Children, the soap, and some guy walking up and being like, I only know Joey from Friends, Dr. Amore, which is not All My Children, but showing up being like, I'm Dr. Amore and I'm concerned about you. I've checked your pulse and it's not looking good. Sandra,
I've slept with your mother.
She's running to the night. Just doing this whole kind of like parasocial.
I'm sorry to tell you this. Me and your daughter have had a relationship this entire time. Oh, John.
I could just picture.
Your father's been murdered. John.
I could just picture some wild characters showing up who have been like mega fans of Susan Lucci.
And I would imagine
for forever.
Because soap operas, you know, that was another era. That was the 90s, that was the 80s, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think they're still around. But.
Super big soap opera fans kind of give me like baby reindeer energy. Like there's kind of this like, I watch every day and fantasize about you.
I would be careful energy. What you say. Maybe we have a massive soap fan audience. You don't know. Maybe the family are massive soap heads.
Oh, soap heads. Yeah. That's cool. I haven't really spent much time watching soap operas, but I kind of look at it. Okay, this I think this is actually probably a really good like comparison.
Okay.
Soap operas. Mm-hmm. Are the romantic version of wrestling, like WWF.
Totally.
Right? Like whatever WWF, like the guy comes in, here comes the tornado, and then this guy comes out and goes like, whoa, and then like smashes a chair fakely on someone, and there's 20,000 people going, yeah, and you're kind of like, what is all this? And then you watch a soap opera, and the guy's just like, I knew it was you all along. Zhang gong gong. And you're like, this is insane. But I feel like if you were raised on it or if there's like a connection, it's the same thing. Like you like the fact almost that it's fake. You like that it's this like over the top fantasy thing. Like,
I think that's a great comparison.
Doesn't that feel pretty good?
It's a very good comparison because also too, you know, the wrestling, there's romance in there sometimes too. It's like the soap opera's the daytime version and the wrestling's the evening version.
Yes.
A beautiful connection.
The only issue though with that would have been, I feel like you're entering like Rock of Love territory where it's like there's a famous person and then a bunch of regular people are trying to date this famous person.
Okay, but Rock of Love was Bret Michaels and it was also what MTV or VH1. The energy would be very different. You could have a famous, there's been bachelors who have have fame attached to them, right? So there is, if you have a famous person who's going on a show that's done in the way of the form of The Bachelor, not MTV, right. It's gonna be a little
like it'd be
different.
Cool if what's her name,
Susan Lucci.
It'd be cool if Susan Lucci had like a headband and then she took it off and her hair went with it. You know what I mean? Like just like him. Yeah. Like that guy showers in that hair headband. But I mean, like he will never take it off because it's so attached. Like there's no question that whole thing is a piece. And I feel like,
That's who I thought it was going to be. And I can't lie to you. I was pretty tickled about the idea that there were going to be like major soap fans showing up and that we were going to also have the soap opera element of like the drama.
Yeah.
And those would be funny dates to do like a soap opera date where they have to be filmed on screen.
And do a scene.
I thought that would be kind of funny.
Be,
but
really be funny.
Point being.
They should do that just in general.
That would be a great. Yeah. Maybe Susan Lucci would be a guest.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. But Joan, I think she's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, I think she's perfect for
it. Her energy is absolutely lovely. It's beautiful. Another side note about Joan that I didn't think about is that Joan is 61. So Gary was 72.
Side.
So I feel like Joan, we're going to get guys
there's a bigger
who
pool,
are maybe in their 50s.
Which is a bigger pool to pull
60s,
from.
60s, which I feel like we might get wilder characters.
Yeah, I'm
going to
be honest with you guys. I think this is going to be an epic season because I'll be honest with you. There's not a scummier person alive than like a single 53-year-old guy. Like, I'll be honest with you. Like, that is what every 30-year-old, like, for all the women out there who go to a bar, is there a creepier guy than the 53-year-old that, like, comes and sits down and goes, like, ladies, like that guy is the worst. So hopefully they do some good vetting to find the good ones because divorcee 50-year-old men, as I just am saying, like some of the worst.
It's bad news.
Some of the worst people.
I did read an article that said, I don't know where it was from, but it like was some interview that said that I think they're doing the casting process completely differently this time, which I feel like they probably have to because, again, we're dealing with men in their like 50s to 70s, which is just because
with
wild.
Women, you're dealing with this thing like single women in their 50s, 60s.
Amazing.
Well, generally what happened
gorgeous,
is they got
fabulous.
Divorced, then focused on the kids, maybe focused on their work. Lost their husband. Or what happens a lot of times is I do feel like, you know, looking at like divorcees in our life, become very selfless people, dedicated to their grandchildren, dedicated, not grandpas. You know what I mean? Not so much the same for the 50-year-old men. The 50-year-old men are kind of like, I still got it. Uh-huh. I still can kind of play the field out there. And then 10 years later, they're still doing it. And then it's kind of getting sad. So that's why the vetting process for men in their 50s has to be way different.
Well, I'll just say this. The one thing I do know is back when the Golden Bachelor was initially even being talked about, so this was like years ago, I have a friend who, at least this guy said, she was seeing a guy who was older, and this guy claimed that he had been looked at for as Golden Bachelor.
Oh.
And this man was in his late 50s.
Right.
Okay. And they went out on a few dates. It was not it. Okay. They were not vibing. She later saw him on dating apps and he was lying, saying that he was like 45.
Right.
So this might be the type of genre that we're dealing
They're gonna
with.
Have to do
it's
like
a man who's 58, 59
on
who's saying
age.
on dating apps that he's like 45. Okay.
100%.
So I'm just saying, I pray for Joan that we have a couple special guys. Now, this is exciting. Very exciting. So Bachelor Nation Scoop, which is like the hub of all the Bachelor Nation info, Scoopy, as Blake Moynes used to call them, I believe. Loved that little nickname. Posted that from a source from one of their subscribers, that the source had been correct. They posted something before Joan was announced that the person said, I heard from very inside sources that Joan is the Golden Bachelorette. And they sent that to Bachelor Nation Scoop, you know, before the announcement happened. That was correct, obviously. Mm-hmm. The second part of the statement was, and Kelsey A's dad is going to be a contestant.
Whoa.
Okay. So Bachelor Nation Scoop isn't confirming this. They just said, hey, this person was right about the
first. Wait, the hot guy?
Yes, Kelsey A's dad,
oh,
the jaw.
The Marvel man.
The Marvel man.
Oh, my
everyone
God.
Said.
Good luck, boys.
Good luck, daddies.
It's his to turn down at this point. I mean, that guy
But again, this is not a confirmation. And Bachelor Nation Scoop wasn't saying it was confirmation, but they said this person was right about the Joan part. So who knows? Maybe Kelsey A's dad is going to be a contestant. And can you imagine?
Could you imagine walking in and seeing that guy and be like, is he the new host? Please tell me he's the new host.
No, please tell me he's a contestant.
No, I'm saying if you were a guy walking in and you see him, you're like, please tell me that's like Palmer's replacement.
Think about Kelsey's dad and Joan together.
I mean, that is
beautiful, gorgeous, lovely energy.
Yeah, that is incredible.
And I feel like she'll eat that up because he has such, not only is he gorge, but he also has such gentle, kind energy.
Yeah, he's like a good Thanos.
And he's the good Thanos. And Joan like tragically lost her husband. And he lost his wife.
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
I don't know. I just feel like already there's.
We don't
love
even
in
need to do
air.
The show. You just like, how about just a, you know, we call it the honeymoon, and they just go on the honeymoon together, and they film a bunch of stuff. You know what I mean?
So who knows if that's true or not? But
wow, that'd be
thanks
awesome.
For the potential scoop, Bachelor Nation scoop, and this is
how crazy
very
would it be
exciting.
To have your daughter get married. Or like meet, you know, their person through a dating show, and then you do the same dating show and meet your person, and then you guys are like going on double dates together. That'd actually be kind of crazy.
Can you imagine how ABC will feel if that
happens?
They
would have to do a show together for just them four. I mean, ABC would be like,
ABC will be like, we've done it. We've made this like familial. We've made this.
We've brought families together.
It's generational. Okay, we've become generational.
Grandchildren, grandparents, they're all are, you know, crafted in a. You know, so. Incubator. Wow.
Anywho,
well, that's exciting.
So exciting. Okay, family, we got to take another quick pause, and then I have a few more little nuggets about Golden Bachelorette, and then we got to talk Traitors finale and reunion.
Oh yeah, of course.
But of course, family. So listen, life is full of stressors, daily ones, big and small, anything from work to trying to cover up that you're a traitor. I guess at the fire of truth, you know, we know that life has stressors, but did you know that those stressors can affect your hair and hair thinning? Stress, sleep, hormones, certain foods, and more can all affect your hair. So when it comes to supporting your hair, it's not just about the hair, which is why Nutrafol is amazing. They support the person it grows from. Nutrafol takes a whole body approach to supporting your lifestyle, not just your hairstyle. I know dozens of people who started taking Nutrafol over the years and have had unbelievable results. I started taking it about 6 months ago. And let me tell you, my hair thickness, I mentioned this all last week, but everybody, I had to go out and buy new hair bands because my hair is getting thicker and my old hair bands were breaking because my hair is getting thicker. So thank you, Nutrafol. So exciting.
Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Your hair is never just about your hair, and Nutrafol knows that. That's why Nutrafol takes a whole body approach to hair health, addressing the problems inside to help hair grow on the outside, supporting your lifestyle, not just your hairstyle. And Nutrafol has multiple formulas that are tailored to give your hair what it needs to grow throughout different stages, such as aging and parenting, which is huge, as well as different lifestyles, such as plant-based diets.
And by the way, this is physician-formulated with drug-free ingredients, clinically tested, and with Nutrafol, building a hair growth routine is simple. You purchase online, no prescription or doctor's visits required. Free shipping and automated deliveries ensure you'll never miss a day. See results in 3 to 6 months. So take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code MOMDAD. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code MOMDAD. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code MOMDAD. And everybody, this stuff is the real deal. I'm telling you, I gotta go buy more hair ties today. This is a joyous celebration. It's a joyous celebration. Okay, so wanted to mention this before we move on. It officially has been announced that The Golden Bachelorette is going to be airing in the fall. I don't think we have a specific date yet, but it's going to be on Wednesdays now, and no more one-hour episodes. We get 90-minute episodes instead.
Oh, wow.
Which I feel medium about.
Yes.
Because, not just because we recap them.
Yeah.
But I feel medium about it because there was something about wanting more that I kind of enjoyed. With that 1 hour episode, it would kind of leave me being like, oh, I could use a little extra. You know what I mean? Instead of sometimes the 2 hour long bachelor episodes, I'm like, okay guys, we could have cut that.
Yeah.
I don't need that, you know.
I wonder what the 90 minutes about, because I wonder if it's like they're doing more. Maybe there's more contestants.
There's just more ads.
Yeah, it's literally like just it's the same 38 minutes of actual material, but they're just doing doubling it. Yeah, I don't know. That'll be interesting. I wonder what they're why they're extending it. Like, obviously, they're extending it for money, like, to, like, put more ads in there. But I wonder what they're going to fill it with.
Also, you know, I'm curious because, again, we haven't had an official...
Is it already filmed?
No.
Okay.
I think it's going to start being filmed soon.
Got it. Okay.
There's not an official cancellation of Bachelor in Paradise. We never got that. They still haven't come forward and told us that we're not getting that. Can you imagine all of a sudden last minute they're like, by the way, we have Bachelor in Paradise. I wish. I'm super sad about not having the sand.
I know.
I'm feeling really, really
it's such
low
a
about
fun,
it.
Lighthearted like appetizer to the Bachelor, Bachelorette.
I know. But what I think maybe is happening too is during the Golden Bachelor, remember we had the Golden Bachelor that would air at 8 p.m. on Mondays? No, it was Thursdays. 8 p.m. on Thursdays, and then right after we'd have Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah.
So we had a day every night. It would be like 2.5 hours. No, 3.5 hours of the Bachelor franchise. And now it doesn't look like they're going to probably have that. So maybe it's a little bit like, okay, we're going to do more than an hour during the fall, an hour and a half.
Kind of
I don't know. Maybe that makes no sense.
I don't know. Who knows? But it is what it is.
So we're going to get more time.
But I'm excited. I think it's going to be a great season.
I think it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
And I think Joan's going to be phenomenal. And like I said, I hope and pray for her sake that, you know, we find some good guys.
Yeah, that's the thing is, like, I'm always a big believer in, like, it's the contestants that make the show generally. You know what I mean? I would say most of the time it's, like, really good contestants and some great personalities carry that show. It's like Joey was a great example. It's like, love Joey, but Joey didn't carry that thing. It was it was the women that were, like, you know, it was the beefs. It was the fun. It was the interesting. It's like, because then you have the reunions. The reunions aren't about Joey most of the time. It's more, you know, it's generally about the contestants. So I feel like as long as you have someone that makes everyone crazy, you know, that everyone like really wants that person, and then everyone's fighting over that person. That's when you get it going.
We need some like finance bro, just like sleazy.
Well, we need some gym owners too. Some like juiced up dudes
too. Her face is super sweet, and behind her back to the guys is just like an absolute piece of work.
We need some salesmen.
Yeah.
We need some gym owners. You know, who get really pissed.
Yeah.
Like buff guys that are real sensitive.
Roid rage?
Yeah. Well, not maybe. Just like buff guys that are really sensitive. So it's like, you can't say that to me. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then somebody be like a really rich guy, too, who's like a, you know, who's just like this, like, you know, talks down to everyone. Like, you know, some real personalities.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But I also would like a good group of guys, too, because, you
for
know.
For Joan's sake, yes.
For Joan's sake, yes. People. But also, too, just kind of like what the Golden Bachelor did for America. We saw so many amazing women come together and become beautiful friends, and the energy was so lovely, and it was like, this is so warm. But guess what? We know there are amazing women out there. We know there are women who are older who are unbelievable because so many of us have them in our lives. It would be nice to be encouraged that there's some nice older guys out
there. We don't know.
And with someone who has, you know, a mother who is single, ready to mingle, I'm like, I would love to see, have her watch The Golden Bachelorette and be like, oh my God, look at some of these amazing guys who don't have this horrid history or don't suck. So that would be nice.
Yeah.
Anywho.
It would definitely be 10 times harder to cast that show.
That's why when I saw that comment somewhere about how the casting process is different, I'm like, but of course it has to be. It has to be different because it's going to be so much harder to find.
Oh my gosh. The characters you're going to have to weed through.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting.
It'll be interesting. That's to say the least.
To say the least.
Should we do this Traitors thing, babe? Let's do this Traitors thing. Oh, quickly, before Traitors, obviously this is the Traitors finale, the reunion, like I mentioned before. Starting in a few weeks, we're going to be covering The Perfect Match, which is very exciting. Yes. A lot of Love is Blind players on that.
Yes.
And then, of course, after that, we have The Bachelorette. But in the upcoming weeks, we have some more free weeks where we're going to have some guests, some fun topics. We're very excited. But please let us know in the comments. Blow up the comments and let us know if there's a particular thing you want us to talk about.
Yeah, topics.
Topics, guests. Like, just let us know. Let us know,
I love
family.
That idea.
Okay, Traitors finale and reunion. Now listen, I'm sure we'll talk finale and then reunion, but I'm sure we'll be intertwining them at some points, yeah. Just as a heads up. And I have to say this right off the top. This finale did a number on me.
I was shocked.
It did a number. Bravo to this show. What an amazing show.
I cannot wait for season three.
I am, okay, everybody, I am literally on pins and needles.
Because this show is undeniably good.
It's so good. I can't wait to actually recap it while it's happening this time. Now that we know what a phenomenal show it is, obviously we'll be recapping it.
And what I like about it too is it's kind of like, it's a, how do I put this? You're not dealing with normies, right? Normies in a show, it's hit or miss.
It's true.
Because you're like,
it can be slow.
They could
be
not
awkward.
The right fit, right? Yep. But when you're dealing with like proven professional reality TV stars mm-hmm. in a environment where it's completely unique, it's a recipe for always being good.
And
there's nothing like this show.
And now after season two, this show has proven how phenomenal it is. I can't wait to watch season one too. But how phenomenal it is that like it's gotten so much notoriety now and won all these awards and is now being nominated for everything. You know, like the level of star we're going to get on season three.
That's
is going to be
saying.
Wild.
It keeps going and going and going. It's like they can pull anyone for this.
And people, I think, are, from what I've heard, random interviews with reality TV stars who are chomping at the bits to get on this show.
You know who I think I'd really want on?
Who?
Is Mike the Situation.
God, it would be so good.
How good would that be?
Oh, we need some Jersey Shore players.
Right,
on this.
Mike the Situation would be like, I'm putting it out there. I'm manifesting Mike the Situation season three would be insane.
You know
be
what?
Like, you know, it's not about the what is it, like the come up or what are all his one liners and shit. And all he would talk about is like, you know,
GTL,
but also coming back from prison. And he now he's like a big, you know, he's like an author and like a big motivational speaker guy. So he'd be constantly doing that. Like he
also
would be incredible.
He would be one of those players who everyone could fool him, but somehow he'd stick around for forever because people would be like, oh, well, it's Mike.
Oh my God.
I feel like nobody would be, he wouldn't be a threat. So he'd stay around for forever.
Dude.
God.
I love
God,
him
I love
so
the
much.
Shore. God, I love the Jersey Shore.
It's the best.
Shore.
It's one of the best shows of all time.
All time.
You know what holds the record? For the biggest views of MTV ever?
The Jersey Shore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry guys, I didn't know.
No, but the way, oh, I thought you were asking that as a question. Like, do I know what holds the record? I'm like, well, yeah, we're talking about the Jersey Shore. I don't think you're gonna randomly bring up something else.
Okay. Oh, that was dumb. Did I say what show?
I don't know now.
Okay.
But
I think that would have been crazy.
I took it as you were saying, like, do you know?
Random fact of the day. Do you know what show? Jersey Shore. It's
yeah,
like,
yeah, no,
that's what we're fucking talking about.
Sorry.
That was dumb.
Sorry. That might have been me.
Anyway, that's my manifestation for season three.
You know what? God, that would be fabulous. There are so many amazing reality TV stars that would be so great on this. Yeah. Also, I love getting to know new reality TV stars. It's making me want to watch, like catch up on old The Challenge things, yes. Like catch up on old Survivor, Big Brother.
Yeah, it
like
makes you want to go back and kind of see the beginnings of everybody.
Yeah, now I want to watch like Parvati and Sandra, like what went down. I'm so curious now. So that's exciting as well. There was a rumor that was floating around that I did mention to you that people were saying Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie
said
that they were coming to Peacock soon. And so everybody was like, are they going on the fucking Traitors? Well, first of all, everyone's like, is The Simple Life coming back? Which is iconic.
Iconic.
But then people were like, are they going on Traitors? And when I heard the potential that they were going on Traitors, my whole body covered in chills.
Oh,
I'm like, are you telling me with the fashion, with the dynamic duo of the two of like Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie on Traitors would be insane. Have to make it so that they stayed around for a while. But I then just yesterday saw that they were talking about it's like, I think a reality TV show of just the two of them,
which is still very exciting.
But for a moment, I was like,
maybe it'll be both.
Maybe we'll get them on the Traitors.
They can do both.
And on this reality TV show.
I love
that. Anywho, okay. But this finale, this show is so phenomenal. Mm-hmm. This finale did a number on me.
Yeah.
During this finale episode, I was convinced that I'm like, okay, we know what's going to go down. First and foremost, you and I don't know how this show wraps because we haven't seen season one. So we didn't know that it was a round table and then to the fire of truth.
Yes.
And then the fact that when Alan said this, my heart. It was just beating when he was like, this is a game where you only decide when it ends. Phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal twist to a reality TV show that it's up to the players to decide when the game
ends.
In the
theater of like the bags that like
the
light on fire.
The theater of it all.
I mean, it's so theatrical. Yeah.
But obviously we didn't know that that was coming. So that was an exciting surprise. But then on top of it, even regardless of that, I should say, I thought I knew the arc of what was going to happen. It was like, okay, we see from the top, Sandra's suspect about Kate, and CT, Trishelle, and Sandra, they're going to vote against Kate.
Yes.
You know.
It felt like it was an
obvious. And I was like, it's going to be an obvious. So when we had the twist and the turn, and then the Fire of Truth twist.
Insane.
My jaw was on the floor.
Yeah,
I was
so good.
So excited.
So good.
I was so excited. Okay, so we start off the finale episode with Kate now being alone.
Mm-hmm.
She's mad at Phaedra, which they do end up talking about in the reunion, which then I feel like they had a good closure on that moment. But she's like, Phaedra had zero plans, and now I have to clean up this mess. And she's choosing between Sheree and Trishelle. At this point again, why are we not getting rid of Trishelle? Why are we not getting rid of Trishelle?
Yeah, it was a weird, you know, I guess here's my thought is like the time for like killing off people who don't who like throw them off your trail a little bit feels like it's over. Like you just at this point you just got to get rid of the loudest people.
You got to get rid of the big players.
Because you know that MJ has, like they said, like CT, I think, said in the reunion, which is like she played the perfect game.
Mm-hmm.
Like never once was even considered.
Never once considered.
Right? CT was pretty much renownedly known as a faithful. Trishelle was the only loud person that was like MJ and CT were never going around like, here's who we need to get out. Here's they would just kind of react to whoever's coming to them. Trishelle was the game, was the problem. And we see later with Kate's ability to manipulate CT.
I know.
That like you just needed to get rid of Trishelle and then you could manipulate.
I know.
But Trishelle was always a problem.
And so, if she would have gotten rid of Trishelle, she would have broken up the CT Trishelle alliance, which everyone knew was happening.
Yeah.
Everyone knew that CT and Trishelle, they're bonded together.
Exactly.
You gotta break up that
to
alliance.
Her. And
You've
it's like Sheree. Sheree is like MJ. Like never really said much.
No one was
like problematic. Sheree wasn't going around trying to put worms in people's heads about other people. Never once. It was Trishelle all day. I truly believe that if Kate would have gotten rid of Trishelle,
there would have been a chance.
How successful she was, even with Trishelle still being there, she could have all gone all the way to the end.
Now I will say Sheree said when she did get the letter. In her
that
final,
she knew it was Kate, basically.
Yeah, she said, Kate could smell that I knew that it was her and she got rid of me, which is interesting. You wonder what we didn't see. Because in that moment, they're not telling them who the traitors are. They're finding out later. So she, in that moment, she was like, I know Kate's a traitor.
But the track record, Sheree didn't have a track record of manipulating and getting people on her side.
And Sheree also had a track record of being like willing to listen to what other people were saying. So it was like, dude, if you would have gotten rid of Trishelle, I can't believe the amount of times that no one got rid of Trishelle when she was the one putting their names out there and it just being like, oh, blew my mind. Blew my mind.
Trishelle, very unlikable, very good at the game. Like the fact that she was.
Sorry, everybody, if you love Trishelle. I'm not a fan.
No,
I'm not a fan.
And I will say.
But she's a phenomenal.
She has massive Karen energy. And it's like, I will just say though, like.
Phenomenal
player. The
fact
that she was so loud. And didn't get killed
or
off to
frantic,
me.
Or frantic, I should say.
Frantic, but also talking constantly, interjecting herself into other people's business, interjecting herself into like private conversations, razzling people, crying, getting mad at CT. Like you'd think at some point someone would be like, we got to get her out of here. She's causing too much ruckus. I'm shocked.
But as much as I'm not a fan of her, I have to just say what a game player.
Serious.
Played a phenomenal game and whatever she wanted happened.
Now, I will say this.
Everyone's talking about how Pete, it was all about Peter, but at the end of the day, when you look back at the track record, whatever Trishelle wanted, Trishelle got.
It's kind of unbelievable, to be honest with you.
Like, literally everything. If you think about it.
Absolutely. From top to bottom, she got whatever she wanted. Wow. Even the wrong people.
Even the wrong people.
Like, she kicked off faithfuls.
Don't even get me started about Peppermint.
But I'm just saying, she kicked off multiple faithfuls.
Yeah.
And still got her way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she actually ran the whole thing.
Yeah.
Crazy.
She really did. She really did. When she said at the end in the reunion, she was like, it was great to finally win a game on my own. And then she looked at CT and she goes, like, I mean, it was both of us.
Like, she's like, listen, you just listen to whatever
I said.
But
it was like, that was kind of what happened. CT kind of followed Trishel.
100%.
I mean, CT did all the work in the missions. Trishel was good in the missions.
CT was the bronze.
CT deserved getting, you know, his accolades with those
big
missions.
Time.
That's for sure.
He
they would have
win.
Made no money, is the bottom line, because 100%. They had to earn their money.
Yeah, he got like an extra like 60 grand or something at the end for them.
Unbelievable.
Huge.
But okay, let's keep going and diving into this. But first, we got to take another quick pause. Family, when was the last time that you made a no-brainer decision? For me, it was finding the Traitors casting directors online and hitting them up relentlessly to let me, a non-famous person, on the show. But of course, you know, that's a no-brainer for me. Another no-brainer for me constantly is using stamps.com. When you're making decisions for your company, you're always looking for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, stamps.com is the obvious choice for a reason. It streamlines your processes and makes your business more efficient, freeing you up to focus on the bigger decisions. We've been using stamps.com for personal and business uses for almost a decade now. Mm-hmm. They're the best. Mm-hmm. They're the best.
Yeah. You can mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running. And also via stamps, you can seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. And access the USPS and UPS mailing services you need to run your business right from your computer or phone anytime, day or night. No lines, no traffic, no waiting.
You also get rates you can't find anywhere else, like up to 89% off USPS and UPS, which is huge. That adds up, everybody. And you can easily schedule package pickups through your stamps.com dashboard, order shipping and mailing supplies, labels, and even printers from the supply store when you run low. It couldn't be easier and more streamlined with stamps.com. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with stamps.com. Sign up with promo code MOMDAD for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, and enter code MOMDAD. Okay, but anywho, I'll never get rid of the not getting rid of Trishel, because that other thing too is Kate could have convinced everyone it was Sandra who got rid of Trishel at this point.
Yes, 100%.
Right, because Sandra's not super connected with Trishel, and it's like, oh, Sandra's keeping around MJ, Sheree, me, Kate.
Sandra was insulated by the housewives.
And now and they're
then
all
she got
still
rid
around.
Of Phaedra, and
it
so,
could have been an easy convincing
easy.
That it was Sandra.
Yes. So such
Which
a better
They
move.
Ended up convincing everybody it was Sandra, but it
but
still could
have
been.
Had to be, the fight was much harder.
Oh, man. Okay. So the next day at breakfast, they find out that Sheree is gone. But CT is saying that Kate was acting weird, and everyone's a little bit like, why was Kate so mad at Phaedra? Yeah. That was a big flaw for her. That was a big mistake, is that she reacted to Phaedra and said that she played a selfish game. Yeah. So everyone's a little bit like, MJ thinks that Kate's a faithful and that Sandra's a traitor just out the gate. But CT is like, mm-mm-mm-mm. That's when we find out that the game only ends when they decide who they truly trust and how to end the game. And then after breakfast, we're seeing them. Everyone's kind of splitting up. That's when CT and Sandra have a conversation. They're like, we need to get Kate out. Like, Kate needs to go. Mm-hmm. CT and Trishel then are like, hey, same, same, same.
Yeah.
Trishel's already spoken with Kate and MJ, and she lets CT know, like, hey, they want to get Sandra out. So then Trishel goes back and tells CT they want to get Sandra out, and CT's like, we got to get rid of Kate.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, great, we're going to have Trishel, CT, and Sandra voting Kate out. We just need the 3 votes.
Yep.
We're good. So we're going to get rid of Kate. So we go into the mission, and us as viewers are thinking,
like
it's sealed. It's done.
It's done.
So the final mission, they get helicoptered in, which, by the way, MJ was so excited about the helicopter.
Yeah.
It was actually one of the sweeter things
I've
ever
aren't
seen.
Aren't you a Shaw of Sunset? I would imagine you've already been on many helicopters.
I just was, it's one of these things that these reality TV stars, I guess we're maybe just used to The Bachelor, which does a helicopter ride 15 times this season, that we're like over helicopters. But if you've never been one, it's like,
also,
whoa.
Miss me on that.
We've talked about this before.
I'm
miss
all
me on
set
that.
On that.
Also, the way that helicopter was like diving and bobbing.
I'm all set on the helicopters.
We're good. Okay. You especially, can drive me in one of those Range Rovers to the mission.
Exactly. I'll take the 2 hour drive.
I'll take
over
the gorgeous car 2 hour drive.
I always think about, it's funny, like helicopters to me just feel like something that was made in the 20s.
Yeah.
Like it's like, let's make a bird.
It's like
a metal bird. That's what a helicopter is. It's a metal bird. And it's like, I mean, it's like, this so sketchy.
It's
anyway.
So terrifying.
I think Sandra was kind of like,
yeah, I think a few of them
that.
Were like, no,
yeah,
but
right.
MJ was just so excited.
Right.
She was like, Alan has outdone himself. She was like hugging everyone.
You know,
she's
Alan
like, here we go.
This, right? Alan didn't call the company to get a helicopter book.
He's a very busy guy.
Yeah.
So they end up finding out that there's this traitor. They get to the location. There's this traitor ship out at sea. They have to get there, raise the mainsail. But before that, they have to go through kind of the land, and they have these detour tasks where they can earn a flag, and the flag gets money added.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to complete the mission, hoist the mainsail in 60 minutes, or else none of the money counts. The mission's over.
Yes.
So what ends up happening with this whole situation is that CT does everything.
Basically, the last two have been that way.
Well, the last
Trishel helped. But other than that, he was like carrying the majority of the last one. And then this one, he did basically the whole thing.
I would love if he had one of those step counters to see how many miles that man ran back.
To be honest
and forth.
With you, it looked exhausting.
It looked exhausting.
And again, none of these people are like.
He is kind of a superhero.
It's kind of amazing. You know what I'm shocked by? Is how physical some of these challenges are.
I know.
Like, they're not, like, mental. Like, they're literally, like, run as fast as you can on this cliff, jump into, like, mud, pull yourself out. And I'm like, none of these people are, like, you know, known for this. Like,
or
half
like,
of these people are on a reality TV show about, like, being rich.
And
like,
everyone's not, just, like, also, you know, well, no, I mean, you got the challenge.
No, there's certain people are, but I'm just, like.
But, like, at this point, though, most everyone's, like, you know, between late 30s, mid 40s,
right.
I think. I know myself.
My knees would be killing on some of these.
I could feel my knees burning.
If I do a squat right now and put the mic next to my knee, it sounds like a bag of chips. Okay. Like
all the crack.
I would be in so much pain. Dude, CT's incredible.
He, watching him on this, truly, I was like, I think
the cardio
CT
alone
is darling.
He is.
Like, so
he's
darling.
Charming.
He's so charming. Like, everybody's got the crush on CT.
Yes.
Understandable.
Yes.
But watching him doing this was like, it was heroic,
it
as
was.
Phaedra said at the last challenge. It was watching a hero. And there were certain moments that were killing me. Like, when they went to the second detour and they were digging through the seaweed, and the women were just kind of at the front, and CT's like deep in the tide pools.
Yeah.
Digging, and then he finds the canister and he's like, I need a 4-digit code.
I wrote this down.
And they start going,
No, not they. Kate.
Kate goes, 2023?
Yeah, he's like, okay, you're just guessing the date that it is right now.
They just missed. Sweet MJ. That's, and Kate just start going, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, like, no. This isn't a guess thing. You have to like find the code. This isn't like you just start guessing. Because I don't know how many options are in a 4 code, but it's like thousands of options.
And CJ's just like, if you guys don't fucking start giving me a reason why you have these 4-digit codes.
Yeah, and he's like, he called Kate Twinkle Toes at some point because she wasn't doing anything. Like, I love that. It was really
Kate,
good.
And then Kate says, oh, I figured it out. You have to go back to the start. And it's like, well, I guess CT's going back.
How about
to
you
the
run
start?
Back? He's neck deep in mud. You run back.
Oh, it made me laugh so hard to just watch their
insane
dynamic. It was so funny.
But then he's probably in his brain going, it's gonna take too much time to like get them to motivate them, so I'm just gonna do it all.
No, for sure. And that's 100% what he started doing, is it's like, we're just now standing around, which is more frustrating than me just like going
just
hard in
it.
The paint.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'd be puking blood, by the way. The amount of
a lot
running
of cardio involved in
and
this.
Them like walking through, like even if I was doing something basic, like if I wasn't doing CT's
right.
work, I'd be vomiting blood. Like,
oh my gosh.
I am no athlete. So I feel for everyone during this challenge. But you know what I love about CT too? Like, God bless him. He never makes people feel bad for the fact that he does everything.
He doesn't shame anyone.
And
he's
even
like, it's all good.
And even at the end during the reunion when he was getting a little bit of a hard time from MJ, which we'll get to and I understand, he never used the whole like, do you guys realize how much money I made all of you? Like,
right.
He never pulled that card. He never was like, screw everybody. I'm having to do this all by myself. It would be hard not to feel that way during some of those challenges when everyone dips and you have to do everything.
Yeah. It was impressive. He's a selfish, humble guy.
Yeah, he's lovely.
He is very sweet.
And I can't get over his voice.
Yeah, you know, he's the nicest gangster ever.
I need CT to start doing voiceovers for cartoons.
Yeah. Oh, he's really good. He's really good. He's definitely, I will say,
he's so
out
likeable.
Of everyone, I felt like he deserved to win.
Me too.
He put the most amount of effort in. He was the sweetest. He never went after anyone. Like, he played the game as perfectly sweet. Not like it. He proved you can win and not be manipulative, which is interesting.
Yeah, he never really. I mean, he never did a little switch up at the end, but he wasn't.
But
being
that was
manipulative.
Not manipulative. He just was convinced of something else.
Yeah.
But he never once lied, mm-mm. came up with a scheme. He literally
like
just
he
was
told
himself.
Peter to his face. I'm pretty sure it's you.
Yeah, he just told him. He just told the guy, which could have gotten him in trouble and got him like Peter could have like devised a plan to get CT out. But he's just like, to be honest, you.
I really want to keep doing the voice.
And it gets more and more intense. Because you like
gets it's more exciting when he gets getting more.
Yeah, now
more
you're
excited.
Cookie Monster.
I'm going to start doing that around the house. Okay. But then after CT conquers it all, at one point they have to rappel down the side, which was intense.
Yes.
That was an intense challenge. Kate's terrified, but she conquered her fears. I was impressed. I can't lie to you. If I would have been in that position, I might have been like, screw this.
Yes.
Especially Kate knowing like I'm a traitor and I probably am not going to be able to pull this off. Like, I don't want to have to do this and then get sent home right away.
Agreed.
Like how she did.
Yes.
That would have been really annoying. But they all conquered their fears. And then after that, CT and Sandra take the other detour where they're going through that like tunnel underwater, which was treacherous.
Yeah.
A treacherous tunnel.
Sketchy, but beautiful. Stunning. Definitely was cool. It definitely was like, ooh.
But it was, that was stress.
No, stressful. And the tide would come in and come out.
Yeah.
And yeah
but
yeah.
They ended up getting the final flag.
Yep. Made
and
it
then
at the
they,
very end.
They get to the, they get to the ship. The other part that was absolutely killing me is once they get to the ship and Alan's like, you have to hoist the mainsail like again. CT
was hanging by his life. And the women are just like, is there champagne on this boat?
I feel like I saw Sandra giving it, but like Kate's just like.
Sandra was the one, but everyone else was just like, do you guys have like cheese boards here?
There's not a cheese board. There's not a.
This is a cool old boat. Is this like
a glass of
dom? It's like an old yacht. Yeah.
CT's just tripping.
CT's like, ah.
His hands are bloody. Yeah.
Do you think they ever like fudge the numbers? Like, you know, like, do you think they always make it actually in time? Or do you think there's a little bit like,
I'm going to tell
they
you,
stop the timer, get them over to the boat, reset, and then they start
I'm
the timer.
Tell you
know what I mean?
I'm
going to
tell you why
that.
I don't think so.
Oh, wow.
Because they have the potential to earn $250,000 at the end of this, and they earned $204,000, I think.
Yeah, true. And. But they always made the timer. That's my point. They always made the timer.
But I also
was,
believe
they would
that
miss
that was CT.
Money.
I also believe
you just
in
think
him.
He pushed.
Well, he's the he's him and Bananas, the challenge kings. CT's won the challenge, I think, six times. Like, this is a man in the nick of time who comes in and he is your superhero.
Yeah.
Like, I believe that he did it. And I tend to believe it too because of the money situation that they didn't hit the 250k
that's
mark.
True, the show doesn't want to give them money.
In fact, they went quite far below the 250k mark. And also the only thing that I could think where maybe they would fudge the numbers is like maybe they don't, like for instance when they were hooking them up to propel down the side,
right?
Do you know how long
that took? 2 hours. It took
so
an
they,
hour
so you
yeah,
know they paused the timer to like
get them hooked,
hook everybody
and
up.
Yes, they did
to
that
do,
kind of
they
stuff
had to do the
safe,
they have to do the safety checks on them that
of
probably
course.
Took an hour
exactly.
Right, so that they I'm sure they paused the timer so they can rest for a second too, and then also maybe the boat ride over
right.
They paused the
they
timer.
They probably paused the timer like, okay, now begin the next part, now begin
yeah,
the next
but
part.
I do believe that they probably the timer
it's
was being
legit.
Like when they're
wow.
I don't know, that's my maybe I'm just I'm,
the
I'm,
reason why I think it is because they always make it by like 2 seconds.
I know,
and I'm always
it's
just kind of
so
like,
exciting.
It's never like, and you're 5 minutes early. It's always like, no. 3, 2, God. It's like, yeah, like every time. You know what I mean? That's the only thing.
I know.
Thought.
I was thinking that when they had 9 seconds left.
Yeah.
When they
and they're
the
like
challenge.
Off the boat. And I'm going, wait a second. There's like, how's that possible? But
I don't know.
Either way, I like the fantasy. Doesn't matter.
There's something about this show that kind of makes me believe. Like when they got rid of bananas for, like, there's something about
that's
it.
True.
They didn't make all the money. They didn't earn all the money. I'm a little bit like,
there's some reality here. Yeah.
It feels like maybe they are more accurate than other shows. But that might, again, just be.
Chad from Game of Roses would be pissed right now, us saying that something actually is real right now. He'd be like, no, the whole thing's fake. The whole thing.
No,
and I'm
what?
Like, I believe.
Do you know what?
Huh?
Chad Clues. Uh-huh. He says this is the best show that's ever been created, I believe, in the history. Like, this is his.
I love that.
He's obsessed.
I love it.
I actually would love to talk to him about this show.
Maybe season three we do a little.
Yeah, we gotta talk to Chad.
Do we do a recap with him?
I would also love to hear. I think I saw that they were posting, or they were talking about like a fantasy lineup. I'd love to hear who they would love to see on Traitors 3.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Also, I'm wondering if Chad is starting to coach people for the Traitors too.
Smart. I would love to see him on the Traitors. He'd be amazing.
God, he'd be so good on the Traitors. Now that's fantasy league. Have clues and
let's do a podcast version of Traitors.
Stop it right
now.
You know
what I mean? All the podcasting people.
Wait, you just gave me chills. But like, is there a way that we could like connect all of our podcast networks, like all of our shows, and do like a weekly thing where we like kind of play like a sit down D&D type game of the Traitors?
Something there.
Wait, that's something to think about.
Okay.
That's exciting. I'm sure everyone's so busy and they're like, that's the last thing I have to worry about. But I feel like it's kind of exciting.
That's true. It's a good idea.
Anyway, I wonder who would host it. Nick. Okay, anyway. So we got to take a quick pause. Quick pause before we officially dive back in. Family, here's the thing. CT and Trishelle got themselves a lot of money. But I'm here to talk to you all about losing money, because I swear we've been trying to cut back on spending and be saving that money for the last 2 years, and I swear I'm doing a decent job, but then when I go check my bank account, I'll be like, where did it go?
Yeah.
Or what is that charge from? What is this charge? Turns out a lot of it was from monthly subscription services that I had signed up for and had forgotten about, or was having an impossible time canceling, you know, the dreaded back and forth emails, to the on hold calls, to the in-person drama. Well, guess what? Rocket Money came to the rescue. They saved the day and let me know about all of those subscriptions that I had forgotten about and helped me cancel them. In fact, Rocket Money saved me a little over $1,000 last year. So bless you, Rocket Money. Thank you.
We love Rocket Money here. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. And like Jess said, they've saved us even more last year. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I can see all my subscriptions in one place. And if I see something I don't like or don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with just a few taps.
Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lower bills for you, okay? By up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with customer service for you. It's truly incredible. It is such a gift. I love Rocket Money so much. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/momdad. That's rocketmoney.com/momdad. rocketmoney.com/momdad. I'm telling you all, family, if you don't have it, it's just one of those things you got to get.
Yes.
Like, it's a game changer. It just helps me so much in all the different financial areas.
100%.
It's kind of the best.
I'll randomly just get an email and be like, we negotiated 20% off. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. Oh, it also gives me a heads up too. If all of a sudden they'll send you a message of like, hey, there was a bigger spending that happened, like an unusual. And one time before, it was because someone, like, we had lost our card and someone was spending. We didn't even know about it.
It's amazing, so
we were able to cancel the card, but it was because Rocket Money gave us that heads up. Yeah. So anywho, I just love them. Okay. After the mission, this is when the tables start to turn quickly and Kate gets in her power. So she's on the ride back home alone with CT. I love how they split them up.
Mm-hmm.
that's definitely part of production.
That like, was
who we're gonna put with who.
Of course,
you know, that's smart, smart production. But it's CT and Kate alone, and he just blatantly asks her, "Are you a traitor?" And the way in which she handles this is masterclass level. Mm-hmm. The way in which she lies and is just like, Are you being serious? And is like acting really annoyed. And she's like, that's like, that actually really bothers me. She's like, I showed up and the traitor started disappearing, which what Kate does have for her is she wasn't a traitor for a long time. So she can point back to certain times mm-hmm. when she was being a great faithful and yes. helping get rid of the traitors. And she's like, until I came, you guys had been getting rid of faithfuls.
Yeah.
So why do you think I show up and then all of a sudden and traitors are going? Like, I'm feeling actually kind of annoyed.
That's a great point. I didn't even really catch on that well, which is like, yeah, that's true. She showed up and they started getting rid of them.
So and that's like, what she has for her is I can't imagine having to switch mindset from faithful to traitor. Yeah. That is so stressful.
So stressful.
But like she does have the past to go back on yes. and be like, remember when I did this and did this? Mm-hmm. Like, does that sound like a traitor to you?
I know.
And CT's like, she's convincing.
Yeah, she's really convincing.
And he starts questioning things. And then they go back to the mansion and all these twisty conversations yeah. start happening where like, you know, Kate's around CT and they're having their conversation first. But then Sandra is talking to Kate and she says, hey, CT told me that you brought my name up, that you wanted to get rid of me, Kate. And Kate's like, I'm sorry. I never brought your name up. In fact, I was talking to CT in the car. I'll just say this. I'm not the one shopping your name around. And gets
and this is where we get like a legitimate lie.
Yeah, you know we what finally I mean? Got
like a
lie.
Real good lie.
We were talking about this in the last episode. I was like I need lies.
She pits CT against Sandra and then tells Sandra it was CT that's pitting her against Sandra so that Sandra has to then fight for her life with CT.
Well, then Sandra's like, okay, well, listen, Kate, if me and you and MJ vote CT out,
yes.
So now Sandra's having to try to be like, okay, I'm having to scramble because it seems like CT... is gunning for me.
And then Kate's able to go back to CT and say, hey, by you know that whole like us going against Sandra thing makes sense because now she's gunning for you, CT.
Yeah. And I mean, CT, Kate tells CT that
played.
Sandra's voting for
yes.
him.
Yes.
And
so
CT's
perfect.
Like, what the hell? And so of course, once we get to the round table, CT's like, Sandra's a traitor and she's coming for me. She told Kate that she's gonna vote for me, even though she told me and Trishelle that we all for sure three are voting for Kate. Yeah. And then on Sandra's side, Sandra even says later, she's like, I am not going to be in a position where I think I'm locked in with Trishelle and CT that we're voting for Kate and then everyone flips the table
right.
on me.
And she said she panicked and then she told Kate. Yeah. Oof.
I mean, Kate came in with
Kate blew my mind with that.
Kate did like a triple
like,
lie.
Kate was a done deal. Kate was out.
Kate was out.
Everyone agreed. We're getting rid of Kate.
And Kate came in and in the reunion, she was cracking me up because they're like, how did you come up with that? And she was like, I don't know. I just knew I was out. So I got bored and thought I'd start some chaos.
Like she poisoned CT's brain.
Yes. And then not only that. So all of a sudden we get to the round table and, you know, CT does initially address Kate and is like, why were you upset
yeah.
at Phaedra?
And if Kate wouldn't have said those words to Phaedra. She would have been so clean.
I know, but then the way that Kate handled it, she was like, listen, like, I came in late, and so I immediately was aligned with the Bravo girls because I'm from Bravo. So I'm coming in late. I'm already stressed about that. I'm thinking that, like, we're playing a clean game here, and then all of a sudden I'm mad
yes.
that I trusted Phaedra, and she's been screwing me over when I think I'm in a safe pocket. And I was like, you know what? It's a good excuse.
It's a great excuse.
It's a good excuse.
Great excuse.
And... you know, obviously MJ's feeling like Sandra was recruited at some point. She's talking about that. But that's then when CT comes in and he's just like, Sandra, I think you're a traitor. He explains the whole Kate situation and it just erupts into
yes.
chaos. And what's interesting, not only did Kate save herself in the situation and get Sandra voted off, she poisoned the well so deep that Trishelle... because CT didn't communicate with Trishelle
that
he was going to vote
crazy.
For Sandra. All of a sudden, Trishelle goes, is CT a traitor?
I can't trust CT.
I can't trust CT anymore. And she even brings it up later. She keeps bringing up the damn torch ceremony
Gosh.
Where she's like, you didn't give it to me.
She's crying. I mean,
you didn't give it to me.
It was still so crazy.
But she was like, when they were at the final.
Like, are they hooking up? Like, I don't understand. Like, why is she crying? Why is she so offended at the CT business?
At the truth, at the fire of truth, when she uses... holds up CT's name, she was just like, well, also there was the torch ceremony.
She even self-admittedly said, like, yeah, we weren't very close and we didn't really like each other on the show. It's like, so why is there this?
That
like,
was wild to me. It's like, you guys didn't like each other.
She owes you stuff. And like, and then at the end, to vote against him.
Yeah. So basically, we end up having the group votes Sandra out.
Right.
And Sandra then is like, dude, no, I'm a faithful. Right. I wish I was a traitor. I wanted to be a traitor, but I'm a faithful. And then they end up going to the, they get some time alone, and then they go to the Fire of Truth, where it's MJ, CT, Trishel, and Kate. And they have the option. They have two, like, tablets, and you can either write to end the game on it, or you write banish.
Yeah.
And everyone has to agree for you to move forward. So Kate says that she wants to end the game. The fire turns green when you throw it in. But then MJ, CT, and Trishel say that they want to banish.
Yeah.
They end up all voting out Kate. At this point, it feels like they kind of know. Mm-hmm. So then Kate ends up leaving. She tells them she's a traitor. And it feels pretty clear, I think, to everyone that there are three faithful standing there. Mm. Except Trishel is questioning CT a little bit. So then they get the opportunity again to write either end game or banish.
Yeah.
MJ wants to end the game. CT and Trishel choose banish. And that's then when they have to write on their thing who they want to banish. CT says MJ. MJ says Trishel, even though she's like, I don't want to choose anybody. I wanted to end the game. And then Trishel says CT.
Both CT and Trishel threw the bread bag in.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, because so- CT wanted to get rid of MJ.
Right,
but he said he didn't trust anybody except Trishel.
Trishel, yeah.
And then Trishel's like, I don't know about CT.
Right.
But MJ wanted to end the game.
Yes.
So then when Trishel votes CT, CT's devastated. In fact, he gets teary-eyed, and it kind of was started to make me emotional. Like, it hurt his feelings a lot, where he's like, you really think? And he says then when they get to have a moment to speak their piece, he's like, let's finish what we started, Trishel. Like, they had a game plan to end the game together.
You know what MJ should have done? Should have voted for herself. Another stalemate.
No, because CT voted for her.
I know. I'm saying the second time they voted, CT voted for MJ.
Oh.
Trishel voted for MJ. MJ votes for MJ. And then she goes, stalemate again. And they're like, we've never heard this
before.
But
it's not a stalemate. Everyone gets voted out. MJ.
No. Or no MJ one's ever voted for themselves. Another stalemate.
That's not a stalemate.
Another stalemate. And they're like, what are we going to do? She's going to vote for herself every time. We got to figure something else out.
It's not a stalemate. MJ would be gone.
No one ever did that.
That is not how a stalemate works.
No, think about it. Technically, everyone voted. Like, if... Oh, that's true. Hold on a second.
Like, what are you talking about? If MJ voted for herself, then she definitely
I'm
would
so
be
sorry.
Out.
Delete this. I just had the biggest brain fart of all fucking time. I'm so sorry. I've not been sleeping very well. I just had the most embarrassing, that was the most embarrassing moment of my podcasting life.
I'm like, am I losing it right now? I don't understand what's happening.
Oh my gosh. Okay, continue on. Delete. Cut that, Lee.
Cut Lee. So CT's like, come on, Trishel. And then they have another, they have to put up their, the names again.
Yeah.
CT again, he votes to get MJ out. MJ again votes for Trishel to get out, and Trishel votes for MJ to get out. So they get rid of MJ. Now, what's wild is if because MJ said it was a coin toss, she just chose a name because she wanted to end the game. If on that first round, MJ would have chosen to hold up CT's name, CT would have been gone because Trishel voted CT. So that's kind of wild to think about. Like, it was this close because MJ thought that all three of them were faithfuls.
Right.
So CT was this close to being ousted because she just, you know, randomly chose Trishel. But then MJ's pissed. She continues to be pissed into the reunion, which I totally get. Because if I'm being perfectly honest, I love me some CT. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But I feel pretty confident that CT and Trishel both knew that MJ was a faithful. Now, I know it's a risk. CT did say CT gave a little bit of MJ played a flawless game. So that was nervous to me. She was never up for banishment.
Yeah.
So she, I thought, could be the mastermind behind everything. But I feel like they just wanted to split the money between the two of them.
That was a money play.
Let's be real here.
Trishel, 100%.
100% Trishel.
I think CT could have, in his brain, been like, maybe she is. But I think Trishel 100% was hiding behind the, like...
I think she was concerned about CT for a moment.
For a moment, maybe.
And then seeing his response, him starting to cry, it was like, okay, we're good. Because when she wrote down MJ's name, she said, I can't bear to write CT's name down again. It was like, that's a... That
no, I think it. I think she voted for CT because she was mad at him.
It was only an anchor.
That's all I think it was. I don't think any of them thought MJ was a
traitor. She just wanted CT to apologize.
And she thought, well, if I vote for CT and MJ doesn't, it's a stalemate. If she also votes for MJ, or for if MJ also votes for CT, then he's out and he learns his lesson. And me and so her thing was I'm gonna split it either way.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna make him not get it. And then she saw the tears and realized that he had made it. Well, okay, now I'll bring him back. That's what she did. She controlled him from day one, up until the very end.
I think for
1 second she thought MJ was a traitor, and I don't think she thought he was a traitor. I think she wanted him to learn a lesson.
I think. In their relationship. So CT and Trishel end up winning.
They have like a toxic ex relationship.
Yeah, yeah. I think that like CT actually loves Trishel a lot more than Trishel loves him. Because even in that moment during the reunion where she was like, I ended the game. And even at the very end, CT was like, I'm a faithful. Like his joy, his crying. And she started to cry too. But like he seemed so happy to have won it with her. And she seemed happy to win.
Like, I could totally.
Which, hey, you know
well,
what?
She, yeah, she said, I did this by myself. I mean, I, CT. Like, I really, truly believe that, like, CT is one of those guys that just doesn't like anyone to be sad or mad at him. Mm-hmm. And she is such a person that makes you feel like they're always mad at you, or that you want to please them, or you want her to be happy. So I truly believe that, like, his thing was just, like, not wanting her to be sad.
Yeah.
And she knew how to use that.
Yeah.
You know, and it was so funny because I thought they were going to make love on the gold because, like,
yeah, when he
her picks
on
her
there,
up and, like, throws her on it. It's like, oh, it's like kind gold. Of in between her legs. I was like, are they going to start making out all over the gold? And then he just jumps on it himself.
And then he starts kissing Alan.
Yeah. I mean, he's the sweetest guy ever. He's so likable. Yeah.
He's so lovable. But congratulations to CT and Trishel. They won. And I love CT, and Trishel played an incredible game.
Amazing.
She really did.
Yes. Poor MJ, just the victim. Just a victim, really, at the end there.
I would be so angry if
I would
MJ.
Be pissed. I mean, it was just because she was just like, oh, we're good, right? No. You're not really.
So,
Trishel's
and also,
here.
Too, what everyone always said in the turret and even outside of the turret, everyone was like, well, MJ's the sweetest. So we didn't like really get to know MJ that much during the show, but everyone was talking about how she's the sweetest. Yeah. Everyone loved her, and everyone was like, she's a faithful. And so that must have felt really like a brutal betrayal. I would have been pissed. Would I have been pissed by the time they filmed the reunion, like how upset she was? I don't know. She definitely was. She was heated and it was dramatic and spicy. But like, I also kind of don't blame her because, right. Yes, it's a game and you can't get mad. We'll talk about the gamers versus the non-gamers energy. But like, I'm a little bit like.
Sucked. See, it's sucked. Funny. It's funny. I looked at. You know, because the two people, can we just be in the reunion?
Let's
now?
Dive into the reunion. Can I say one thing about the reunion beforehand? So the reunion, we find out it's not hosted by Alan Cumming. It's instead hosted by Andy fucking
Which
Cohen.
Which is perfect.
Listen, this is another reason why this is the best show on television. It's because they know what they're fucking doing.
Yes.
Okay. Alan Cumming is an unbelievable host, like the best host of all time. But Alan Cumming might not be a reunion tea guy.
Right.
And everybody knows that Andy Cohen is the king of the reunions and the tea. And so they bring in the right guy for the reunion, which is just pro. It's just pro. And Andy Cohen is the king of the reunion. And so I'll just say this about the reunion. We'll go over a couple of the bigger points. But in general, it was just a lot of what Andy does, which is...
Bang, 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 bang.
It's harder... Why,
how did that affect you? Or are you still mad at him
for that?
It's
harder to recap the reunion when Andy does it because it's so many fun, quick-fire things.
I just wanted to talk about a couple things.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying it's harder to recap the whole reunion when Andy Cohen does it because there's so many quick-fire things, but it's the best watch.
Yes.
Because it's like, quick question here, funny moment. Like, you're... on the edge of your seat, entertained the whole time.
Like, I thought the MVP of the reunion in regards to, like, the most balanced approach was Kate. Because she said, you know, she played dirty, she played clean, she had her moments, she had her fun moments, she made it right to the edge, got cast out, and she said, I didn't feel like I deserved to win. I was there halfway through. I did what I could to bring the drama. I didn't take any of it personally when
I
got cast out.
She also shouts out to Phaedra. She's like, yeah, I shouldn't have, like, now I get, like, when I was a traitor for a day longer, I get why
you gave
her
flowers and said, like, I, you know, at first I didn't understand why you gave up, but I, like, that stress was so immense. Da, da, da. So I thought she was the MVP of, like, how to mentally deal with it. And she didn't go, I should have won, and da, 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 I got screwed. She just was like so nice
about it.
Parvati
played a great reunion game.
Parvati was extremely, like, she was kind of had moments of not being super likable on the show, then moments of likability, but then you kind of really saw her personality at the reunion.
Very charming.
She was just smiling the whole time and sweet and didn't take, she got attacked multiple times, didn't lash
also
back.
Also at one point, like when Ekansu was like, that was really wrong and rude that you got rid of me after I told you that I loved you. And she goes, I'm a nasty little traitor.
Yeah, like it's almost like playing into it, like, hey guys, remember,
playful.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought Peter was the most cringe for sure.
Sorry, Pilot Pete.
Because he was just like so, his ego was off the chain and he loved everyone calling him the smartest and Phaedra called him so handsome and he just was loving. The ego was off the chain. Now he's dating Ekansu probably.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That they're
I don't even
now,
know, but I'm just saying, like, during this filming, he's like, I got the girl, I'm the hot one, I'm the cool,
smart
everyone
one,
praises
yeah.
me, like, it, the ego.
When he came and did the Alan impression,
my whole body was
you saw me physically
sweating.
I hid under our blanket. I was like, I can't.
It was like too far. Like, but, just take the huge compliments. We don't need to now be, like, the best actor in the house. Like, let's leave that alone.
But you know what? Regardless, he was a cringe lord during that
cringe
reunion.
Lord.
He presented the rose to Phaedra. Will you accept this rose?
Yeah, he was great on the show,
on
but
one,
definitely cringe.
But, like, you gotta admit, dude, that guy is
so good.
He's brilliant.
He's really good.
He's brilliant.
Yeah, he's
I don't care
so
how
good.
Cringe. You know, I do love a cringe lord.
Yeah.
So as much as I was hiding, I was also loving it.
But he's by far the best player. I mean, no questions asked. He got a little too aggressive, and I think everyone even admitted, like, that was your downfall, was, like, just playing too much. But, like, he was undeniably the best player.
No, he was phenomenal.
Dan, I felt, was, like, really humble. Like, he came in really humble. He just kept admitting his faults. He kept admitting
Dan
how he messed up.
Dan literally said,
you know,
to Andy at the beginning, he's like, yeah. Andy was like, oh, you're super nervous. And,
yeah.
And Dan was scared.
Dan was scared because I think he knew that, like, he had really hurt Phaedra. And then Phaedra was friends with everyone. So I think he was afraid that everyone had turned against him.
I also got the energy that a lot of people weren't, like, pro Dan. And it makes me think because he was the quiet one in the house, people didn't develop a relationship
sure.
with him. So they were just more annoyed at him being a traitor versus, like, oh, that was a funny moment
exactly.
to remember. I don't think that he built the relational piece. So now leaving, he just kind of, I don't think, realized that he was going to leave a wake of
it's
people
funny. Being I find him very likable.
So do I.
He seems sweet. He seems quiet and sweet. He doesn't seem conniving and brutal and
but from
like,
the
he
get
seems,
he had a massive game plan.
He had a massive, but he just seems like a nice guy to me. He doesn't I'm not getting
no
ulterior motives.
Now it was wild to see what we saw in this reunion was the massive difference between the gamers and the non-gamers.
Yes, big time.
So we had all the gamers
on how they handled the emotions of it.
Yes. So the gamers basically had to admit, which I loved, the gamers had to admit, dude, the non-gamers, the reality
incredible
TV star
play.
People,
yeah.
we thought that they were going to be blah, and they were phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And they didn't expect it. And
they
had to admit that they were underdogs to them, and they crushed it. But the difference was that the gamers, they're like, we end the game, we shake each other's hand, and we're all best friends after. Nothing is taken personally.
Yes.
Versus the non-gamers are like, we're not used to a competitive game.
Yes.
So we're used to these
it's
bravo.
It's personal. I'm used to fighting with my friend about their husband and like personal
yes.
shit.
And
yeah.
also these non-gamers, especially the Bravo housewives are like, what we do at a reunion?
We kill each other.
It's a bloodbath.
It's a bloodbath. I'll attack your child.
And so,
I mean, like,
so
it is heavy.
What we have to do is for a good reunion, we make it personal.
Right.
This isn't just shits and giggles. And so what was making me laugh so hard were the moments where some of the housewives, especially those moments with Phaedra, where it was like she was serving the drama of she's like, he's a piece of shit. Because it was like she was giving us housewife reunion
drama. So you
drama.
Think that was like a role?
I think Phaedra truly was frustrated and annoyed at Dan. And I don't blame her because I think if I would have been in Phaedra's position, it's like you and I started together and then we brought Parvati on. And so I think you and I would have a connection, and yet you and Parvati tried to burn me from the get.
Mm.
And that's annoying. So I'd be frustrated too, especially when we found out from the whole cast that they said we had no suspicion toward Phaedra until Dan threw her name out. I'd be pissed. I would be frustrated.
There's no question.
But I don't think that she's as upset about it as she was like showing, because I think she's giving us reunion. Yeah. It's exciting. We want the drama.
I do think, though,
the
frustration. Because MJ said she blocked
MJ,
them.
I think, is really that mad.
She blocked them, which is hilarious. To block the person that beat you on a game show, to block them in real life, and then her go, why wouldn't I, is hilarious.
It was so good. She's like, of course I blocked them.
So she was 100% real. She 100% took it seriously. But I also was like, she wasn't a gamer. Like, she really was just like there and just happened. Yeah. I think she was so like sweet and just kind of nice that like no one even suspected she was a traitor, because she never did anything traitor-esque the whole time. So she was just a victim of like...
I wish we would have seen MJ more too, by the way. There were a few moments like when they were like, what did you feel like when you were in that coffin? And she was like, I was thinking about what I was going to order on the airline.
Right.
She's charming. Right. I wish we would have seen a little more of MJ. But everyone loved her. And that was a very known thing in the house, except Kevin when he came for her the one time.
So for me, it was like when MJ took it personally. And I will say this, too. She had the gnarliest one. She was betrayed at the money table.
Yes.
So she wasn't halfway through the game. There wasn't 15 people left.
She was betrayed.
She was
when
she had the money in her
final traitor.
She had her money in her hand and they took it out. So the ultimate betrayal.
Ultimate betrayal.
There was no evidence against her being a traitor.
Nope.
It became two friends bullied her basically off the show. So I was like, okay, that would piss me off.
Yeah.
Now, would I take it actually personal or just be like, dang, I lost the game? Yes. But we understand that, like, you know, some people take things personal. I guess the thing that does shock me is Phaedra, only in the way that she seemed like such a gamer. And she was so good at kind of getting people off her trail and then making friends with people. And, like, she stayed on in a really good way. I don't know. I just felt like she was so good at the game that when she did. And then, you know, when you think about it, too, Peter, remember? During the circle, she's like, I'm not, you know, I don't have to kiss your ass, basically. Like, I'm not looking for your rose.
He came for
her. No, he came for her.
Yeah.
And then she just snapped at him. But then in a reunion was lovey-dovey, calling him gorgeous, everything's fine, everything's fine. Dan does a gnarlier version, but still was just playing the game. It was never personal. And then she looks at him and is like, you're a piece of shit, fuck you. I was kind of like, whoa. Like,
okay, but that's
I understand
why I think,
being like, I don't really like you too much, but she seemed genuinely
mad.
But that's
mad. Why
I
think
like,
it's, I think that's why it's a two-parter. I think number one, she was upset at him, and number two, part of it was like a little more like
drama.
Housewife reunion.
Got it.
Because she gives the people, look at her. We saw there was the only one person that they did a full montage of,
right?
And that was Phaedra.
Well, no, Phaedra is by far the most entertaining.
She is by far. She gave us everything.
And it seemed like she took nothing personal. That's why it shocked me.
But it also, though, she gave us what we wanted at the reunion. We got some spice because we weren't really getting any spice except from MJ.
No,
everyone
was
good,
spice.
Good, good. So it was
I
like,
loved that she took it personal.
Yeah.
I'm not saying she shouldn't have.
No.
I was just shocked because MJ had made sense. She doesn't. She seems like she would take stuff
I think
personal.
Phaedra leaned into it.
Got
but
it,
I think
okay.
the difference is between the Peter and the Dan thing are two things. Number one, like she said, she was a fan of Peter before.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit
there's
of
a
like
a
we love Peter.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, even just like a like.
Or just there's a fantasy there of like, yeah.
By the way, she said Bachelor Nation, everybody, which means she's a proper
she's
Bachelor
fan yes.
which I'm my fantasy is to have Phaedra on this podcast. Yeah. Like, can you imagine?
That'd be amazing.
So there's that, but then also there's a difference between someone trying who's a faithful trying to get a traitor out.
True.
Versus this
betraying
is my person.
Your own people, yes.
I started with you, Dan, day one, and I now had no idea. And I now I'm watching the show back, watching these ITMs, and from day one, you were coming for me.
Yeah.
You were trying to screw me over. Because he was trying to screw Phaedra over from the very first day they started
100%.
Together. So I'd be annoyed too, because I'd be like, especially when we find out that Phaedra, the way that Phaedra played. Is she was like, the reason I didn't get rid of Trishel is because she touched my heart. And at the very end, the reason I kind of gave up was because I loved all those people sitting at that table and I wasn't going to throw Kate under the bus and I wasn't going to screw over Sandra. And the fact that she wasn't willing to throw Kate under the bus shows that like it was painful for her to have Dan throw her under the bus. Because when her and Parvati did the thing, it was obviously a mutual, we're both on the chopping block. But the fact that Phaedra wasn't willing to throw Kate under the bus, I think, shows that she definitely values loyalty. So to her, Dan probably is just the worst because there's no loyalty there at all.
Mm-hmm.
He's just playing the game.
Right.
But it was interesting to see the gamers versus the non-gamers. Yeah. Now, The character who was sending me through the roof the entire time was Parliament John. Because Parliament John had something to say about everything.
Everything.
And that man put him on a Bravo housewife reunion. Parliament John wants to be a housewife so bad.
Big
he
time.
Wants to be part of that. And Parliament John would crush at a housewife reunion. Because anytime anyone was saying anything, even if it didn't involve him, he was like, well, listen, you need to let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Like,
he
Big
was
time.
So, like, he was getting involved in everything.
He's I will say I really
he's
like him. He's
character.
Like fun. He's really good at I think he'd be
he
really good at reality.
He cried when CT and Trishelle won.
Yeah, like I think he'd be really good at reality TV too because he always talked about like not taking anything personal, but like just bringing the entertainment factor. And I do feel like
he's
really good at that. He's really good at that.
Parliament John gives make him a new housewife. He gives me housewife energy.
Yeah.
He comes to those reunions with housewife energy.
Yes.
To the point that I looked at you and I said, I've never seen Tamra Judge so quiet at a reunion ever in my life. Anytime I've tuned in and seen Tamra on a reunion, she's screaming at Vicky.
Oh, Vicky, season 3.
Evan, don't even get me started.
That would be iconic.
Don't even get me started.
She'd be screaming at everyone. Oh my gosh, Vicky in the situation on season 3 nothing would make me happier.
I feel like if they made Vicky if they picked 3 traitors day 1 and made Vicky one of the traitors, she'd be out right away.
Yeah, because she would give
it
away.
But it would be hilarious.
No, I actually think that Vicky as a faithful would be really good because she'd get real pissed and then someone would like not go along with her plan and she'd start screaming at him and like, oh my gosh, dude, Vicky is my all-time GOAT of reality housewives. There's no question about it. She's my favorite.
Vicky on Traitors would be the most unhinged thing ever.
Oh,
you know
that
what, though?
Make me so happy.
She's gone on shows since. Like
she's mellowed out.
No. Oh, it's where she's gone on. They do these like ultimate girls trips. So they don't do it through Bravo. They do it through Peacock.
Okay.
And they take all these housewives who have either been fired or quit or whatever, and they go on a housewife trip together. And she basically will like go into her room and be like, I don't want to film the whole time.
Yeah,
so I could also see her going on the Traitors and like never leaving her
drunk.
Room.
She gets drunk and then she
no,
gets
but even
pissed.
Before that, no,
oh,
she's
really?
Just she's like upset. She doesn't either. She's sick. She hurts herself immediately or she's upset about something in her like dating life or family. And she's like, nobody understands. And she's just in her room the whole time. So part of me wonders if she would just like quit Traitors day 1. I could see her literally being like, I don't have any friends and I'm mad.
No one loves me.
And she quits day 1. God. That I could imagine happening. Another moment I do want to bring up is Peppermint.
Okay.
Because Peppermint is my fave and she obviously was the first person to get banished.
Wait, wasn't Bananas before her?
Bananas got murdered.
Oh,
and by the
right.
way, Bananas is pissed.
Yeah. He's
Bananas
pissed.
Wants to come back with a vengeance.
Of course, and I think they should bring him back for like a dip in or something. Because he was supposed to be such a major player,
well,
and then to have him go right away.
I personally,
crazy.
Traitor season 3, I want Bananas and Peppermint back.
Yeah.
The first two to go,
Give
I want
shot.
Them back on this show because Bananas is such a power player, and like Peppermint said too, she's like a Traitor super fan.
Yeah.
So she's watched like all the different iterations of the different seasons
so
from everywhere.
Probably has really good strategy too.
Well, and Peppermint also the thing about Drag Race is that it is a competition show.
Right.
And talk about high level competition.
Yeah.
Like you are competing in every art form and craft, and it's
emotional.
And
Jess is a super fan, if you can't tell. I mean, she's literally like vein popping.
I don't
out,
like any
passion
show
for
more
this.
Than
yes.
Drag Race. So yes, she would be. She would be perfect on the show. But I think they need to bring Bananas back.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, he took that personal about the Dan.
Yeah, he did.
He was the one gamer who was like, yeah, fuck you.
Yeah.
That elimination was personal.
Yeah.
But Peppermint, we did have a moment where, you know, Andy asked her like how she was feeling after the banishment. And it was like such a powerful moment where Peppermint was able to express like, hey, for me, it was a situation where what I was feeling was because there was really no evidence. And she's like, I get someone has to go first, but there was no evidence. And when there's no evidence, you see people going for people that are different from them. And so she's like, so people like me don't typically fare well in this situation. Right. And it was a powerful moment of being like, really look inward right now. And what Peppermint was saying, it's like, it triggered this like a specific moment in high school for her when she was like the one person who was out from the LGBTQ community. But what she was saying was what was so heartbreaking for her was that she, with all the anti-trans legislation that's been going on, that's absolutely horrific. She was like, so many people don't know someone who's trans. Mm-hmm. And this was a moment on television where
that's how people learn.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was going to be that person. And what an incredible person. She's just like, if you haven't dug into Peppermint, like go on YouTube, look up interviews, podcasts. Peppermint is unbelievable. And this was just such an important moment. And so the fact that that was cut short is so sorry, fucked up. Mm-hmm. I will never forgive Trishelle for it. You need to bring Peppermint back.
Yeah, I'd love that.
And I also, I don't know if it was cut, but I was not thrilled about the fact that Trishelle, that John was the one who spoke up, by the way, and said, hey, I regret sending you home, but you're an incredible person. Yeah. And Trishelle stayed silent. And I was like, this is a moment, Trishelle, where you should probably be having a conversation with Peppermint, if that's what Peppermint wanted. Maybe Peppermint was like, I don't want to go back and forth. But the fact that there was silence to me was just like, anyway. But another person who then brought up childhood trauma was Deontay.
Oh, yeah, because he left. And that was everybody was shocked by. Like, you get punched in the face for a living.
Right.
It's and you're leaving this little game show. Everyone's so confused.
Why did Deontay leave? And so then we had a moment where Deontay was like, the game, it was amazing. Everyone was so lovely. But it brought up a lot of childhood trauma. And he's like, all of a sudden I was thinking about, it's like the money, the fame, it's not what matters. And I came face to face with that. And he's like, and I learned so much from removing himself. And what a beautiful moment.
Yeah, and saying that Phaedra like helped him through it and they like bonded over it too. It was,
but like the fact
took
that
took care
he,
of himself in the right way. It was like, you know what, this is triggering some stuff. I got to get out of here.
But like the fact that Deontay, who's this huge professional boxer, it's like all masculine, right? That it was just like, talk about like crushing that toxic masculinity by openly being like, I had a moment where the childhood trauma came up and I needed to remove myself. I was like, that is a gorgeous masculine energy. And I think too, we really saw how affected he was after the Peppermint exit, where he was feeling like she got singled out. And so I think that there was, from both, there was that trauma that was coming up. And I don't know, the fact that Deontay spoke to that and was open about that, I thought was beautiful. It also showed what an amazing person Phaedra is, like that she was there.
Yeah.
And everybody said we couldn't get rid of Phaedra because she was praying over
right. They're like, we can't go against Jesus. Do you think that's why they brought Kate in, because Deontay left?
They
needed to
I think they were always
in?
Gonna bring Kate in. Sure, and I think it was like kind of a fun surprise twist that we have someone from season one, because also they have to bring in like I think it was a fun surprise twist. Okay. I'm so excited for season three. If they're gonna change it up.
So excited. What a great season. What a blast.
But yeah, I mean, it was amazing. And we ended, by the way, with the whole CT and Trishelle of everything. Like, MJ was still mad. That's how we wrapped.
Pissed.
Trishelle's like, why are you still mad at me?
Yeah, it wasn't like a calm, why are you still mad? It was like pissed.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. CT tried to be like, you are an amazing player.
Yeah,
I loved playing with
you.
CT just feels kind of like pure, like he
just
had a great time.
Yeah, he doesn't understand why anyone ever fights, and you know, he's just having fun.
But what a show.
Well, thanks for coming on the journey with us. We cannot wait for season three. It's going to be amazing.
I am so excited. We'll absolutely be covering season three. Like, 1,000%. I am so bummed we didn't get to watch this in the moment with everybody.
We're late to the game. Sorry.
But thank you everyone who kept DMing me and being like, you need to watch Traitor season two, because I loved watching it
so much.
It was
so fun.
It was just so much fun. So we love you
all. We love you all.
Thanks
we'll
for going on this
week.
Journey. Yes. And join us on Wednesday. Have a beautiful weekend.
Bye.